You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I am joined today by the co-host, the boringest man on earth, Chad Graham.
I love Tommy Stickle. Oh yeah, Tommy Stickle. I love Tommy Stickle. Oh yeah. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing good, doing very good. How are you doing, Chad?
I'm doing good. I am real good. Basketball, 3-0, Tom. 3-0. How you feel?
Oh, I'm very excited about basketball. It's been a pleasure to watch. There's been some, you know, we'll get into it. We'll get into it some more. Obviously, we've kind of set history a little bit with our performances lately. But unfortunately, another really good team kind of did it with us at the same time, which is fine. Just how it goes, I guess. But we'll get into all that later. But tell me, Chad, where are you at right now? I'm sure people want to know.
Dying to know. I am reporting live from Chicago, home of his airness, Michael Jordan. Did I go to his steakhouse? No, I did not. Did I go to a steakhouse the last time I was here? No, I did not. So I go for 2, and I feel like I'm losing in that stance. But, yeah, we're in Chicago, so exciting stuff. It's cold. And
is it windy?
Yeah, here for work. It's windy. It's the windy city, they tell me.
Yep.
So it is, in fact, windy. Why is it so windy here? Is it because of the water? Is that it?
Scientists would say so, but I think it's something deeper than that.
It's got to be. Because, I mean, there's other cities. There's other cities by water, not windy. What's going on?
I'm with you. And I'm sure everyone who listens to the show has picked up on how big of a fan Chad is of Michael Jordan. So I don't know how many.
The greatest.
How many steakhouses does Michael Jordan have? This seems like something you should
care.
Know, Chad.
I don't care. He's got one here. And the last time I was here, I went to a place called Pippin's. And no, it wasn't Scottie Pippen's, but ironically enough, I thought it was Scottie Pippen's at the time.
No, it's more like the Scottish Pippen or something. I don't know.
Scottish Pippen. Wasn't it? I feel like it's Irish.
It was like a little Irish, a little bar or something.
The Scottish Pippen sounds cooler. Scottish Pippen. They've got to change the name to Scottish Pippen's. Oh,
that would be the best, Chad. We need to, whenever you and I, you know, continue to take over the world, and we were just rolling in money, you and me, we're gonna buy Pippins and just slap Scottish up there on that
Scottish
sign.
Pippins, yeah, that's really funny to me right now. I'm up here for work, and the Bulls play tonight. I'm staying about 15 miles away from the United Center. I looked to see when I got out of 15 miles how long it would take for an Uber. It said over an hour.
Oh.
So I said, nope. And I went and ate pizza instead. So
delicious.
Yep. Here I am. Where are you at?
I'm right back where I'm always at. I never leave this place. So except when I go on trips.
True.
But yeah, I'm back home. Nothing special here. I think I saw on Twitter that the Bulls recalled Daniel Gafford, so he might be playing tonight. I don't know. I don't really follow the NBA closely, but I know that they sent him down, but maybe it was just like a conditioning thing or just, you know, sometimes they do that kind of thing. I was scared, though. You know, when somebody gets called down, you're like, has he been terrible? I thought he was doing okay, but.
Yeah. I don't think he's gotten a lot of playing time as a rookie, but they're pretty. I think they have some depth. So his time's coming. It's coming. Let's see if he is playing tonight. If I missed it, I guarantee he has like a triple double, and I probably missed it.
Oh, that would sting.
That's my luck.
That would sting a little bit. In Chicago.
Oh, he did. He had 19 minutes. He got like 19 points already. He's 9 for 11. Wow, and I missed it.
Wow.
In the third quarter.
How many rebounds he have?
Five
rebounds, 19 points.
11. Yeah.
Showing out, man.
I guarantee 8 of those 9 field goals are dunks.
Ooh, I hope so.
And I'm missing it. I'm here. Throwing that. There was a ticket for $15 in the lower level. Look at me. I'm just sitting here in the hotel.
Well, at least you get to record this with me, you know, so I value
true.
You. So I have an update. I think a few podcast shows ago, you know, I was talking about how I turned 32 and I'm just stinkier now. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I decided I'm going to invest in advanced equipment finally in my life. I'm 32. I'm an established adult male and I want to get a really nice, trimmer. So, at least nice to me. Maybe this isn't the nicest one, but I Googled like the best trimmers on the market, found a list, random list. So I got the number one. It wasn't too bad. It was $50, which that might sound crazy to some people. $50. It's like the top of the line, like Philips Norelco or something that they make for trimmers. Anyways.
Sounds fancy.
So it comes with 23 attachments, okay? 23.
That's too many. You don't need 23.
You're right. It is too many, but I'm glad I have them.
You need three.
One thing that is fantastic about this trimmer, and I would encourage every male to get this unless you're way more sophisticated than I. So it pretty much like it's trimming for dummies. Literally these 23 guards, they literally say what they're for on the guard. So like two of them say body. And then it's got like the different, so it's for your body hair. I was like, awesome. And then these say like, and then of course you got your nose one. You don't really have to label that one. But anyways, I was really excited. One said eyebrow. And I have never had like, I've never trimmed my eyebrows with a trimmer. So I did that for the first time. Changed my life, apparently. I would always just get these little scissors. Oh, yeah. They look great. They're fantastic.
Picture?
Yeah.
Pictures are didn't happen.
They're everywhere. Any picture of me recently, hey, go check it out. I've got nice trimmed eyebrows, and but the game changer was I got
anyone noticed?
No, not a single soul, which is great from my perspective because they'll notice when it's crazy and you've got the crazy grandpa eyebrows that are like three inches long, and I get those. It's creepy, 3 inch long eyebrow hair. You're like, what happened?
No.
Oh yeah, it's happened.
Oh, my gosh.
It's weird. Anyway, so the game changer was I got the body one out, and I got the longer one, and I was like, I've never done this before. I don't think I have ever in my life trimmed my armpit hair.
Where are we going with this?
Ever.
Okay.
I don't think I ever have. I never shave my armpits. That sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. You know, you're going to get it's going to get stubbly, and it's just going to destroy your armpit. So I'm like... I can't just shave it. And anyways, I used the little the longer of the body trimmers on that. Perfect.
Yeah.
No problem. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just removed hair that's been on my body for 20 years.
Ooh.
Like I never trimmed it ever. So that
make a big mess.
So no, it wasn't too crazy, but it's just wild that I was like, man, this hair's been on my body forever. Like, does it just dissipate over time or like disappear? Or like, I've never trimmed. So I'm like, now I'm going to get in this nice cycle of like new hair growth. Like it's going to start growing out. Then I can just trim it up and it's going to be fresh hair and it's not going to be stinky hair.
Well, what's the difference between fresh hair and stinky hair though?
There's got to, like if you got to think of 20 years of nasty sweat hair. Versus, you know, maybe 3 months, you know, or something like that. I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to make a positive impact on me, but I might have stumbled into something for all males to pay attention to if you haven't done it yourself. So get the Norelco $50 trimmer. I think it's 5 millimeter body thing. Just do it. You'll be happy you did it. You'll feel good. You'll be less stinky.
Oh, man.
Chad, have you or have you not shaved your armpits before?
Shaved or trimmed?
Shaved.
No, not shaved. I've trimmed them.
Okay.
We don't want those them getting out of control.
I'm late to the game apparently on the trimming of the armpit hair. I'm kind of ashamed.
Oh man.
But I know I'm not the only male. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say 40% of males have never trimmed their armpit hair ever. 40%. Ever.
Okay.
There's a lot of gross people out there, Chad. Fair. I'm talking every male. Like there's probably 1% that bathe once a month, you know, of males. Yeah. Like guys are gross.
Yeah.
All right.
I think 40 is a fair. That's a fair number.
Okay, good. I feel like I've got my finger on the pulse of this pretty good, you know. I'd love to hear more feedback.
You feel good?
Oh yeah, it feels great. I was worried though. I was worried it would feel like stubbly, you know, moving my arms. Mm-hmm. No ill effects at all. None. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Do it every man.
Sweat more or sweat less?
I think it's the same. It's the same. Okay. It doesn't matter. But maybe I'm wrong here, but I feel like the deodorant is more effective because it touches more skin now. Less hair to get in the way. So deodorant isn't getting on the hair follicles, it's getting onto the skin. Positive impacts.
I get that.
Whew, science. I think I've stumbled onto something here. Well, hey, let's get into some basketball talk. So I was able to get caught up on the Rice game. Fantastic game. It's funny rewatching it. It's like we still look kind of sloppy at parts of it. You know, it didn't look perfect. We scored 91 points. Pretty crazy though. So we won that game 91-43, and then of course on Tuesday of last week, November the 12th, we play North Texas, and we beat them 66-43. Any thoughts about that game, Chad, that you can remember? I know we've had another game since then.
The North Texas game, I mean, it's still been pretty sloppy. The defense has been good, as we talked about. But I'm ready for Isaiah Joe to just go off, right? He can do it. I'm ready for him to just have a night where he's just shooting lights out. I feel like we haven't gotten that yet.
No,
right?
Not
like
at all.
That night, he shot 4 from 6 against North Texas, which is really good. But same time, you want to see him just put up 25, 30 points and just shoot lights out. So the North Texas game was one that was in hand. I think we talk about that. I mean, they shot 83% from free throw. Got out rebounded, but man, look at the perimeter defense is silly. I mean, they shot 2 for 17. North Texas did, so just insane from 3-point land. So it's incredible. It's nice to see that we don't have open threes that we're just giving up. So what were your thoughts?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, just obviously the defensive performance is incredible. I think Desi Sills, if I'm remembering my games correctly, I really liked Desi Sills in that game, if I'm remembering it right. There was one play where he, at whatever, 6 foot, I think he's 6'1", he was able to get a rebound, box out a guy who was, you know, 4 inches taller than him, and I think there was even two of them, and he just went up, got the rebound, and then he dribbled, and then he went down and scored like an awesome layup thing, and it was just like, man, I love the energy that Desi had in that moment. He could be one of those players that like wins us a game later on down the line when it's close. I think he's definitely got a bigger role to play on this team. And of course, the star of the team, I mean, you got Mason Jones, but I think Adriel Bailey, he's the MVP so far.
Yeah.
That dude's been incredible. It's like he's like a superstar almost at this point. I feel like he's got that presence. Man, I've been super impressed by what he's brought to the team.
Like, he's not big, but he's going to get a rebound. Like, he positions himself in the right way to where he's going to get a good leg up on a rebound, right?
Yeah.
He's not the biggest guy out there, but he can jump, and he knows where to position himself when somebody shoots. and he gets great positioning. He guy's working down there just to box out. So, yeah, he's great though, and he just man, I love the inbound plays and everything else that Musselman's doing. Like he's getting it figured out, and it's great to see. We get some easy buckets. That's from the coach. You can tell the players are having fun. So it's exciting, man. It's just, it's good. We're going to have a loss that we're not, you know, it's coming.
Yeah.
Right. We know it's coming, but I'm just trying to enjoy it right now. So
exactly.
I want to see them just have a night where we just, offense is clicking and we just light somebody up and our defense continues that intensity. You think about it though, when you're playing that hard at defense, like you're tired on offense, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, in the past, we just didn't really try super hard on defense. And so we had a lot of energy for offense. So we were able to score a lot of points. Man, these guys are just busting it on defense, man. You watch them. Like, it's awesome. And, yeah, they're pretty – I mean, you get the ball on the other side of the court, and you're a little gassed. So that's just kind of what comes with it. But I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I feel like – I don't think anywhere this stat – I don't think anyone records this, but – my guess is that if you looked at most games under Mike Anderson, there would be roughly 10 points scored a game that would be considered like easy gimme points for the other team. There was always, it seemed like it happened all the time where just a busted press, like, and they would just get the easiest layup or some, we just give them a point, just like whatever.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily that we gave up. It was just there would always be those moments that like, yeah, we screwed up really bad there. Easy buckets. And there's maybe been like a handful of just kind of like busted inbounds plays that they've gotten like a layup on or whatever. But for the most part, Musselman has kind of eliminated that part of Arkansas basketball, at least through these first three games where we're not giving them anything. And you know, at first I was like, okay, that Rice game could have been a fluke. You know, they definitely missed some shots. Definitely guys have been off. But then it's like, okay, we've rattled off three games here where we've held teams under 50. Is it a fluke yet? Can we trust this? Is this saying something yet? And I think it, you know, I don't think we're this good, obviously. I don't think we're going to be an all-time great defense of all time in basketball. I think that's a little too extreme, but it seems like they're building a foundation here of an identity. I would say that. They're building an identity of just gritty defense and effort defense. And I love seeing how they use their hands in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
They disrupt a lot of – there were, I think it was the Rice game that I noticed it, but they were able to disrupt a lot of passing lanes with just their length, and their hands were in the right place at the right time. And, you know, they disrupt shots by getting their hands in the, you know, in the vision of shooters. And it just seems like they're coached on hands, at least from my very, you know, I'm not a basketball expert, but I notice their hands and where they're at a lot. So I've been impressed with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, the help side defense is good. watch them on screens, because I remember Mike would always have them switch every screen, and they're switching a lot of screens here as well. Just think about once we get like elite talent in there, you know, like we get some like really, really, I know these guys are talented, but think about, we put some talented guys in there. And like when you're a Power Five school, like you should beat other schools just based on your fundamentals, and you have a talent gap, right? And so that's clear. And I don't feel like we always had that previously, where there were some nights where like it got kind of close, right? Like it was single digit wins and we had to kind of struggle it out, but Musselman's just head and shoulders above these other schools, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. And so it just feels good to kind of to be where we're at.
It does.
And
it does feel good, doesn't it? It just feels good.
I know, right? Especially the football, and like just try to soak it in. You soak it in. You got a game tomorrow night against a not as good opponent, and then you got was it Texas State, I believe?
Texas Southern.
Whoops. And then we have a more, actually, a surprisingly good school. Is it South Dakota?
South Dakota.
They're undefeated. So I think that's actually going to be a test. And going back to the Montana game, I mean, Montana was picked to win their conference. I know it's a kind of a smaller conference, but it's still a tournament team last year. So you think about that, and they're actually projected to make the tournament this year. So it's not like a horrible game to be playing. So I don't know. they're doing the right thing so far.
I agree. Yeah, Texas Southern, they seem like they're just a bad team. We should beat them. South Dakota, though, I know, you know, to people that aren't paying attention to this, you would go into any game, you wouldn't know that Texas Southern is worse than South Dakota. Who knows? But South Dakota is a legit team. That should be a really good game at Bud Walton Arena, 8 p.m. Friday night, November 22nd. Definitely go if you can, anyone listening to this. But that'll be the first test. And then, of course, on the upcoming Monday after that, in Atlanta, they will play at Georgia Tech, which is, you know, the first Power 5 test. So,
and they're good. They're undefeated.
I think those two games will tell us a lot that we need to know. You know, if we can start really believing, or just kind of just let's just keep growing with it. You know, those two games will tell a lot. So it'll be exciting for those. If we struggle against Texas Southern, I'll be like, what in the world?
Yeah. Which, if the past tells us anything, this is typically the game where we win by like 5 points, right? Where it's like, what happened? So we'll see. We'll see if Musselman keeps that tradition alive. And rumors are that Reggie Chaney is, you know, could actually play. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully we have him by Georgia Tech. We need a big guy out there. That's my guy. That's my guy to watch this year. So don't let That's me right. down, Reggie. Now you're listening. So, yeah, we need him. Need a big body in there. Need to get him caught up to speed before we get into conference play.
For sure.
Tommy, so let's get a little update. Let's get a little update on our people who transfer away. I feel like Mike Anderson era, we had at least two people transfer every year, felt like. So 2 years ago, we had two guys transfer, and so they sat out their respective year, and now they're eligible to play. You know, one of them really was a head-scratcher for me, Darius Hall, the guy as a true freshman – got a lot of playing time and like feel like he was going to have playing time last year. And think about what we would be with that guy this year. You remember Darius?
I remember him. I remember he was the one who was just the ultimate head scratcher. It was like, you're going to be a starter, dude.
A starter.
Yeah. You've got that.
And he goes to DePaul.
Yeah.
He goes to DePaul. So he was a high energy guy, good rebounding. Got some good points for us. He had some big conference games too for us. He even started a few games, I feel like, as a true freshman. Yeah. But so he's getting about 20 minutes a game, averaging 4 points a game and about 5 rebounds. So it's like,
wonderful.
Okay, so he's typically like their sixth man. He's coming off the bench at DePaul, and so that could change as the season goes on, but not doing a whole lot. So it's like, okay, you know. Is this what you were looking for? Was it a coach thing? You know, I don't know. So sometimes it's not always the easiest the answer is just, I'll go transfer somewhere else and I'll get playing time. But I don't necessarily see DePaul as a powerhouse. I think they had a pretty rough season last year. So, but hey, more power to you. It's his decision.
Speaking of, DePaul is one of those schools that I have no idea where it is geographically. Do you know where it is, Chad?
Indiana?
It is in Chicago, Illinois.
Wow. Darius. There he is.
Go say hi.
Dude. You know who I guarantee you has been in the Michael Jordan Steakhouse?
Who?
Darius Hall. I guarantee you Darius Hall has been there. You think he's hanging out at Scottish Pippins?
No. No way.
Well, maybe he just wanted to go to Chicago to further his education.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe.
Okay.
Any other updates on transfers?
One.
Yeah.
Yes. One more. CJ Jones. Remember him? This one was, I don't know, kind of weird too. Like, it's his senior season, I believe. And he was like the three-point shooter for us. And so he's transferred to Middle Tennessee State. Powerhouse, right? Following Ja'Cory. Which Ja'Cory like did pretty good over there, and they like had some good teams, and they're undefeated. They're doing well. I think DePaul's undefeated too, but CJ's getting like 33 minutes a game, so he's like he's second in minutes. He's scoring about 19.7 points per game. He's second leading on the team. So hey, good for him.
Hey,
you know?
He's found his role. Yeah.
Little Milk, Tennessee State.
I pulled him up, and now seeing his face and seeing his jumper, I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I remember CJ Jones.
Yeah.
He would just pull up threes. You know, that was his game. Oh, yeah. At least that's what I remember him as.
That was it. Wasn't super consistent.
No.
But he had some good games.
He looks sharp to me. Like, if I had to define a word, he's just sharp. He was like a sharpshooter. That's CJ Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how quickly you forget these people? It's like, you know, you'd think you wouldn't, but you do. Don't know why.
Yeah. So he's over there in Murfreesboro just shooting all kinds of threes. So let him fly, CJ. Let him fly.
I should go to a game and call the Hogs every time he makes a three and see what he does.
I mean, the guy spent 3 years?
It feels like it.
It was 3 years.
Yeah, I think so. He was with the team a few years.
I'll go sit out a year and play my senior year at Middle Tennessee State. It's like, okay.
You've got to imagine that these guys, having seen Musselman, and if they have any kind of relationships with the current players on the team, I feel like there's a really good vibe with all the players. They're really liking Musselman, and you've got to imagine they're like, I screwed up a little bit there, guys.
right. It's crazy. None of the players left when Musselman came on. Gabe was told, I think, to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any official word on that.
I was going to ask about Gabe. That was going to be one of my questions I was going to ask you about. Like, can you envision Gabe on this team? And I'm like, no.
Oh, man.
I don't want to.
No. Taking charges. Oh, man.
Yeah,
we've
already got Scylla there to basically be the terrible shot selection player on the team. So
he's the villain, Tommy. He's not fair to him.
He's the weak link right now. Yeah.
Oh,
we need to come up with a term for that, because there's every year there's that one player that just drives you and me crazy.
I tell you what. Scylla could hit a game winner, Tom. I would still be pissed. Like, I'd be so mad. Like, why is he shooting that? He like makes it and like wins the game. So stupid. Like, I'm so mad for like 15 minutes.
I don't know what
he could do. I don't know.
He just always has those untimely turnovers. Just does that ugly shot. Does something just ugly, and just you just shake your head and you're like, man, Scylla.
Just pulling threes, missing all of them.
We need to come up with a name. There needs to be that needs to be a thing. I thought of the horrible hog, you know, the horrible hog, but that's a little harsh. I don't want to call him horrible. So we'll come up with something a little bit more, you know, more fitting, I would say, because it's not that they're horrible. It's just more like they're embarrassing.
Yeah.
Frustrating. I don't know.
So
we kind of already touched, or at least I did earlier in the show, a little bit about the history that's been done by this team so far through the first three games. I'm sure most probably have already heard this, but if you haven't, Arkansas was right alongside Virginia as being the first teams to hold their first three opponents under 50 points, basically since 1948-1949 season. So, and that's like the shot clock era. So I imagine that means, you know, plenty of games were under that before the shot clock. Obviously, the shot clock makes you shoot more and run your offense more effectively. So it's kind of just like anything before that wouldn't even matter to begin with. But, you know, it was hilarious because Virginia, I think, ended their game sooner than we did that night. So the ACC main account, like, had the tweet just ready to roll. You know, Virginia is the first team since 1948 to do this major, amazing defensive accomplishment. And it's like we piggybacked 30 minutes or an hour later. Like, how crazy is that? You know, hasn't happened in 70 years. Two teams do it, right? You know, how nuts is that?
Nuts. Crazy. That's cool, though.
It is cool.
Keep it going. I feel like we're going to keep the streak alive.
Virginia's not bad, right? They're okay. Right? Won the championship last year.
Yeah. They're a good team. That's cool. That's cool to be mentioned with them. Obviously, they've played. They had like a road game.
Yeah.
Like a, so
They played a little bit tougher schedule than us. I had to look it up just to check. They played, their first game was against Syracuse on the road. So Syracuse is, you know, traditionally a pretty good team, but it was a weird score. It was, I think Virginia won something like 48-38. Just super low scoring game. It was just odd. So, and then the other two opponents were, you know, equivalent to the types of teams that Arkansas beat. So you would probably hand it to Virginia as, you know, the slightly harder schedule so far, but holding opponents like that under 50 is clearly amazing. Like, we need to appreciate it. We need to soak it in. We need to love it. We need to massage it.
We need to take it to a date.
We need to open its door when it gets in the car. We need to love it. All that good stuff.
I feel like in the past for Mike Anderson, we'd like always root to get to 100. And like now we're like rooting to like keep the team under 50. Yeah. I know I was doing that against Montana. I was like, "Oh, we're at 42, boys."
I know, it felt like they were going to get there. It kind of felt crazy, but I looked, I was like, "Oh, good."
But before I was like, "All right, we're at 91. We can do this. 100." Like, it's like a whole different philosophy. It's cool though. It's not boring at all.
No, it's
That's
not.
The cool part.
There's definitely gratification there for that. So, kind of another disappointing, I guess is the word, news happened over the weekend. On Sunday, I believe, we had two players who were heavily considering the Razorback basketball team to commit to choose other teams, which it happened. So Chris Moore, out of West Memphis, he chose Auburn in the worst commitment video I've ever seen in my life. I wish I had those minutes.
How long was it in total? An hour?
It was close to that, I think. I wasn't at least 40 minutes. It was just awful. And the fact that Auburn
first quarter. It's bad when you break it out into quarters. You have four quarters of your announcement video. Come on. Yeah, I left out the first quarter.
And
ridiculous.
You know, news had broke earlier that day. Maybe it was Saturday. Maybe I can't. Was it Saturday or Sunday? News
Saturday.
Had broke earlier. I think one of the big, you know, Auburn guys said that he put in a projection for Chris Moore going to Auburn. Everybody started connecting the dots that was the likely thing. But then it was crazy looking at the feed of, you know, his feed, you know, as the live feed as you're watching it. I'm telling you, 80% were Hog fans, 10% were 15% were Memphis fans, and 5% were, I didn't even see one Auburn thing, not a single one. And it's like, I've told, you know, Chad knows this about me, but this dude is making a mistake. I don't care what anybody says about me. He's making a mistake. He just shunned so many Arkansas fans by doing that. He had all the support in the world to come to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I'm not like bitter about it. It's his decision. That's fine. Do what you want.
Yep.
But I think that people don't value the connections that staying in state bring you. He naturally has thousands of people rooting for him, and not only rooting for him, but supporting him. They would give him anything he needs to succeed because we want guys from our state to succeed. It's just different.
Yeah.
Auburn doesn't care if he succeeds. They just want him to be good so they can win. That's all. They don't care about him. And when you shun your home state, there are just negative things from that. It just happens. So I can't ever recommend that for a kid. I mean, obviously I hope he does great, sure, why not, but I just can't help but think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're not from Arkansas and you come here and are successful, I mean, look at Scotty Thurman. I mean, the guy's a head coach down in Little Rock, right?
Yep.
I mean, anyone who's successful. I mean, Scotty didn't go play pro. I mean, he was on staff here, but I mean, you can pretty much do just about anything. So,
you can.
Yeah, hate to see it.
You know, but you can walk into any restaurant in Little Rock and probably get a free dinner. You know, you can get any job. You know, you'll have so much support. Like, people want you to sell insurance for them, sell cars for them, whatever you want to do after your career is over. They'll want just your name because you're famous, because you were a Hog, and people want to come in just to see you and shake your hand. And, then I know of like people like Manny Watkins who got jobs with great companies that are in Northwest Arkansas, you know, and there's just so many connections that You're passing up. Like, true. Those connections aren't going to be there in Auburn for him. They're going to give those to the kids from Alabama that went to Auburn.
Kids
that
play football.
Yeah, and probably kids that play football. But it's his decision, and he'll live with it, and that's fine. And I guess the story's not over, but I'm sure he probably will go to Auburn, and there could be more behind the scenes that we don't know about. You know, maybe Musselman didn't really recruit him very hard, and maybe he didn't really want him, and I don't think that's the case, though. But we still got Moses Moody. We still have Devonte Davis committed. Moses is big. You know, Moses is going to be – he's going to be the star. He's going to be really good. And then we still got Jalen Williams, who is waiting to also decide. Now people are kind of linking him to Auburn a little bit more than they ever have as well. So that'll be interesting to see what Jalen decides. And we also had another person committing or deciding on Arkansas. He committed to Alabama. Keon Ambrose Helton, I believe was his name. He's not from Arkansas, but he chose Alabama. So another one that we didn't get. But
I don't know, like... It's interesting to, like, if you've seen anything of Alabama basketball this year, and like, what is there to get excited about, you know? Because Avery Johnson left, and I thought he was a good coach. I mean, guy coached in the NBA. But, I mean, Alabama loses to Penn. They lose. What are you excited about? Alabama, like, I don't know, you know? I mean, they had, like, Avery Johnson had some good recruits come in, but I don't know what there is to get excited about over there. So, who knows?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he decommits after Bama just tanks this year. You know, kids do that.
Yeah.
That so, can who knows?
And, who you know, knows? I'm starting to wonder about the scholarships, you know, how many are available. I think we've got a solid four that will be available on the team next year. But so I think there's room for those guys to have. I don't think they were holding those out for higher rated recruits. I know one possibility would be Kyrie Walker. They still kind of might be holding out something for him. But I guess that wouldn't impact next year's numbers. But I don't know. Maybe true. I'm crazy.
What is he doing? Why is he just going to think he can join a team in the middle in January? He's like, well, once conference play starts up, I'll just join a team.
I don't know.
It kind of makes me mad.
I don't even know
about
that.
The more mad I get.
Yeah. It will be really frustrating if he joins the team and all of a sudden we're just like off or different. He's going to be probably like one of the more disliked players if that happens. I don't think that'll happen because he's so naturally talented. But
yeah, true. But I don't know. It just doesn't. Something doesn't feel right. You know.
Yeah.
Something doesn't feel right. Doesn't sound like it's going to work out. I don't know. It sounds like some poor decision-making has been led up to this point. So, I don't know.
I agree.
Well, I mean, whoever the team is by come January, like, that's the team I'm sticking to, you know?
We'll see about him. And did you see, I don't know if you paid attention to it. I just started paying attention to this guy. But we offered this kid who's in the 2023 class. So,
ooh.
I guess that would make him a freshman if I'm calculating everything right. So he's obviously really young. His name's Mikey Williams. Have you seen any highlights of Mikey, the ninth grader?
No. You need to. I think it makes him a sophomore.
You need to, Chad.
I'll go check it out.
He's incredible. Like, slam dunks. He's really, you know, you can just tell he's next level NBA talent already. At his level, go check out Mikey Williams. I believe from like L.A., Los Angeles, California. I think or something. I think or maybe let me double check that. So Mikey Williams is from. He's listed as his hometown as San Diego, California. So definitely California kid. I saw him with a jersey on that said something about Compton. I think so. Maybe he was playing some. You know how they play crazy AAU stuff with all these different teams. But anyways, he's a California kid, but I'm telling you, check him out. You'll be impressed. He's windmill dunks, you know. It's insane. Well, other than that, I think that's all we've got upcoming for basketball, at least.
Yep.
All that's on my radar. Did you have anything else, Chad, before we move on to hockey?
I'm excited. Hoops, let's just keep it going and keep the streak alive. Let's go. Pack Bud Walton out.
Well, Let's head on over to Hockey Land, talk a little bit Razorback hockey. So the Razorbacks played some home games against Washington University at St. Louis. Two games absolutely just annihilated them. Like, embarrassment, just, I don't understand it.
Good.
Beat them 14-1 first night, beat them 15-2 the next game. Just destroying
people.
Figure
out your names. Washington, St. Louis.
I know.
Come on.
They do need to figure that out, but I'm glad we beat them. Our next games, we play next Saturday, November 23rd, at Alabama. Always fun to play Alabama. Hopefully we can beat them again. And then we play the next day as well at Alabama again. And then there's a little bit of a gap between the next games, but we'll have Ole Miss coming up. We'll have Kansas as well. So kind of some, you know, football Power 5 fun stuff.
Tickets to Jeff Long.
That's right. That's funny.
Although I don't think he's too involved in the hockey operations.
Yeah, I'm doubtful on that as well. Chad, are you familiar with Torchy's Tacos in Northwest Arkansas?
I've driven by it. Actually, I haven't been in, but the sign outside is very impressive.
Nice. Well, I bring that up because the hockey team, after one of their games, did a little meet and greet at Torchy's Tacos. Had some nice pictures. You know, they were dressed up, you know, in the typical hockey culture, you know, suit and ties, looking good, looking nice. But I think you missed your chance there for meet and greet. But hopefully they have some other ones, but pencil in Torchy's Tacos. Maybe they'll do it again. Just go check it out.
We'll try out Torchy. I love tacos, and I love cool signs, and this has the best of both of them, I feel like.
Yeah, plus amazing hockey players that we love, like Sugasawara, my man.
Say that three times fast.
Sugasawara, Sugasawara, Sugasawara. Say, Sugasawara needs to get a cigar in a Ferrara.
Sir, oh, man.
So let's jump on over then to the football. A little football talk. We've got a game against LSU coming up this weekend. It's going to be fascinating night game.
Oh, man. What's that opening spread?
I think it was started out negative, or, you know, 46-point spread there. 46.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. What
surely
would you bet, Chad?
Arkansas
would you take the points and go with Arkansas?
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. I mean, surely not, right? I don't know. That's a lot of points.
I'm going history. It's normally a close game. I don't see why they're going to want to protect Joe Burrow. They're not going to want to have him out there slinging tons of...
Especially after what Tua did. Yeah.
I think
the backup will light us up, though.
Yeah, I could see Joe only playing two quarters, maybe a third quarter. So you just factoring in all of that, you imagine that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be less than that. It won't be that.
I would say
they could. I mean, if they wanted to, they could. Yeah.
49-10.
That sounds like a very, very good score, I think.
That's what's going to happen. It'll be 42-3 at half, and then 49-10.
Yep, that sounds right. I think I'm buying into that story as well.
Like, the offensive coordinator, like, goes home at halftime.
Yeah.
like half the team just leaves.
Just put in the scout team. Just put them in,
yeah,
give them some experience.
Like,
it'll be equal competition.
Train the clock. Let's just go home, not get hurt, because we're trying to win a national championship and not worry about Arkansas. So that's what's going to happen.
I do think, this is just my gut, I think Lunny is going to be able to motivate the guys more than they ever have this season. And I do think we see them play better than against Western Kentucky. I honestly think that KJ Jefferson not playing really set the locker room against Chad Morris, so to speak. I think the team wanted a spark or wanted a decision to be made that they think would help them, and they blame the coach for not making that sooner, and they should, because it probably should have been made sooner, and it wasn't. So I think that, you know, so far Lunny has the QBs are listed as KJ Jefferson or John Stephen Jones or Nick Starkle. I don't know if you saw that today. So
yeah,
no Ben Hicks. Sorry, Ben, you are donezo, man.
Oh,
just go.
Thank goodness.
Go get your UPS job. Go ahead. You're ready. Ben Hicks just like, I hate these guys. Disrespect.
The amount of snaps he played was outrageous.
But I do think KJ Jefferson, you know, plays the majority of the game. I don't know why John Stephen Jones would even get in the game. Let's be real. Why is he? I honestly could see Nick Starkle actually. There's a reason I could see Nick getting in the game, but John Stevens, I'm like, eh. Just no.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, you can get really excited about him. I mean, he had a good throw, a good touchdown pass against Mississippi State. But that's about all I got.
it was
a good throw.
He's what he is. Yeah. KJ just has the intangibles, you know, the elusiveness that's what wins games in the SEC, you know, elusive quarterback mobility.
At least Starkle beat Colorado State, right? I mean, that was a good game.
That was fine. Wasn't it tied going into the fourth quarter, or is really close?
We ended up pulling away by like 20, though, somehow. But yeah,
CJ O'Grady had
we're going to lose.
Busted. That was, you know, the play of the year, of course.
Yeah.
But you're going to think I'm crazy, Chad. I'm feeling, I think the Hogs are going to beat Mizzou. I just got this feeling in my bones. I know you don't think so. I think Lunny's going to pull it out. I really do.
No.
If I'm wrong, you can make fun of me. You can call me mean things. I think we beat Mizzou.
No chance. No, I mean, no. It's going to be one of those, like, we're leading in the fourth quarter, and like someone throws a pick six and we lose the game. Something stupid.
That'd be bad. So
yeah, I'm not. No.
So of course, everyone, you can't be a Razorback podcast and not talk about the head coaching search, which no one has any stinking clue about anything. But hey, we'll at least make a comment on it, right? Right?
Yeah. Sure.
What you feeling, Chad? What's your gut? It doesn't even matter. What I don't like is when people say who they want, because it doesn't matter. We want Nick Saban.
No.
Like, don't say who you want. That doesn't matter. Say who you think Hunter Yurecek will hire. That's the bottom line.
Ooh.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the bottom line. Who do you think Hunter Yurecek? Man, there's a lot of wrestling references that I have. We have in this show. I never even. It's like slinking in. It's really funny to me. Haven't watched wrestling
though.
In 20 years. Anyways, who do you think who's on Hunter Yurecek's short list? Who do you think he goes after?
Oh gosh,
I've got a lot of strong feelings about it, honestly, but I think you have
do
less.
You? I have no feelings. I don't know why. I think my heart is just guarded right now for football, and it, I don't know, the past 4 years have been brutal. So he did a pretty good job with hiring Musselman. So I'm just going to let him do his thing. You know, I'm just sitting back and watching.
Yeah.
I wish I had some opinions, but I don't,
you know, and when you think back of that search, like I remember Kelvin Sampson, isn't that his name from Houston?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was kind of the front runner because he was doing so good, and everybody was like, it's probably not going to happen. And, of course, it didn't happen. But Musselman was there at the beginning. Like, everyone kind of had him pegged as a candidate very early on, but he was kind of always your, like, second or third, you know. Kelvin was first, and maybe there was a middle guy like, Wichita State. Is it Wichita State? Basketball coach. Why am I blanking? He's got glasses.
I'm blanking too.
Okay. Anyways,
I know what you're talking about.
It seems like Musselman was always there all along, but we just didn't really understand how good he was. Of course, I'll be honest. I don't want Hunter to do a Musselman-like type of hire with this, you know, a lower type of division, you know, hire a guy who's kind of up and coming and has had recent success, but hasn't really have a long tenure of success. I really feel like what I want him to do, and probably what he will do, is go for a guy who has a much longer tenured winning at the high level type of hire. That just makes sense to my brain. I feel like it's a big risk for him to go after, you know, like the Appalachian State type of head coach. I think it's a big risk to go after a Mike Norvell type of hire at this point. And it seems like Mike Norvell is not interested from what I've, picked up on all the rumors and all of that. It just, there's like nothing circulating with him right now. I don't think he wants the Arkansas job. I wouldn't want the Arkansas job if I were him. He wanted to get it when he was with Chad. You know, like they've already not chosen him once. Like, how often do you reapply for the same position, Chad? People don't do that in real life. So why would he do that? You only do that if you want to get more money. You know, you want to use that as leverage. So I don't think Mike Norvell's realistic. I wouldn't want to come. But I do think there are a handful of those type of proven Power 5 guys that will be on his short list. I think number one would be Mike Leach. Everybody's going to have a strong opinion, whether they like him, whether they don't. Hey, you can go with yours, whatever it is, everybody. I like Mike Leach. I like him. I think he's multidimensional. You know, you can think of him as just this goofy guy, you know, that's crazy. You also see sides of him, like there's YouTube videos of him absolutely cussing out his locker room after a win, like F-bombs galore. He's so mad at them. They had won the game and he's just cussing them out, and I'm like, that looks pretty intense. And maybe he doesn't do that as much anymore. I think it was 10 years old or whatnot. But he's multidimensional. I think he is a sharp football mind. He has a unique style. He has an identity. He's kind of you can't go wrong with him. He seems safe to me. The one negative, though, we're going to have to pay him a lot of money. And I don't know if we can.
You're not paying him.
We got to. He wouldn't come unless we pay him a lot.
I'm saying Tommy's not paying.
Oh,
so,
I'm not paying him.
You know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, I'm not paying him. I think Kiffin is another guy who might come for the right amount of money. I'd be okay with that. Why wouldn't I be? It's fine. He knows guys. He's got a lot of connections. Just waiting for his next opportunity. And then probably the most controversial person that I actually do like is Hugh Freeze. I know you don't probably like Hugh Freeze. He's just waiting for the next SEC team to give him his chance. He's waiting for it. That some team will, and he'll be good when they give it to him. He's already proven that he can annihilate in recruiting. And I know a lot of people think that he cheated in recruiting. That's kind of the story that people think back to. And there maybe was a little bit of that, but it really wasn't tied to him like people think it was. A lot of it happened under Houston Nutt when Houston Nutt was coach. And it wasn't tied to Houston Nutt, though. It's boosters doing it behind the scenes without people. And who knows what people really know. I'm sure it's all just a big lie. And, you know, but bottom line is the people that got in trouble for it, or really the evidence they found, were boosters giving people benefits and assistants that weren't connected to the coach, really, like cheating on ACT scores and telling players to not answer questions that they don't know so that they could be filled in later. Like, yeah, that happened. They literally cheated. That's why they're in trouble. But how much is that should you pin on the head coach? Well, they didn't pin anything on Houston Nutt. And when they tried, he was the one that got Hugh Freeze in trouble, because he knew, he knew the dirty stuff that was in Hugh Freeze's past. And Houston Nutt just threw him under the bus and got him fired. And apparently the story goes, which I know everybody's going to believe what they want to believe, but apparently if you believe his wife and his pastor and his close friends, they all said that Hugh had confessed that sin, so to speak. You know, he's a very strong Christian person, like a year before that all became public. And so he had already, people knew about it, but only close. And so I think Houston Nutt knew about that through one of those connections somehow and outed him for it. So just to save his own skin. So you can tell I'm not a big Houston Nutt fan. I think I'm not a Houston Nutt fan at all. But I think Hugh Freeze is just waiting for his next opportunity to be great. Saban tried to hire him as offensive coordinator or some kind of offensive position, and Greg Sankey didn't allow that. He said that he didn't want Freeze to coach back in the SEC until Ole Miss was off their penalties and off their sanctions from his time there, which makes sense. So I don't know technically. I haven't paid close enough attention to know if Sankey's opinion would be at that with Arkansas hiring him, but somebody's going to scoop him up, and he's going to be good when they do.
Yeah, I mean, just the history and past with Bobby Petrino, it's not related at all. And I know it's just a scandal, right? The Hugh Freeze thing was a scandal. Even though not all of it was
barely tied to it. Everyone associates that with the scandal, and I just don't. I don't know if they want to risk that or bring it in after everything Bobby put us through. You know, I don't know. Maybe enough time has passed, but
yeah. I know what you're saying. You're right. It could be a bad thing, but it's Hunter Yurachek's decision. You know, I think between those three, Leach, Kiffin, and Freeze, I would give them all an interview, and I would say, you know, which one's best? Like, which one has the best interview? Which one sells me on their vision? Which one wants to be here the most? And the guy that wins, I'd give the job to. And it's probably not more complicated than that. I think we love to look at their numbers and say, well, this guy has won. He has a 65% winning percentage, and this one has a 63%. And it's like, do you think Hunter Yurachek cares about that? He couldn't care less about that specific stat. He's going to get those guys in the office and talk to them, and he's going to go with his gut on the guy he can trust. So whichever one of those guys he trusts the most, that's who he'll go with, and that's the bottom line, you know? Stone Cold reference. That's the bottom line.
It's true.
You know how hiring works, Chad. We're in the business world. That's how it works. It's not done. Right. You know, it's done. That's the way it's done. You know, who can you trust? Who do you want to be around? And who does he like? Apparently, he tried to hire Kiffin at Houston before. That's probably bodes well for him coming to Arkansas. That's probably a good thing for Kiffin. Who knows? But it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see it all unfold. And honestly, I think it's funny how everybody has such, like, I would hate that, you know, reactions. It's like, no, you don't. You would be happy. You would be so on board the second one good thing happens, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm exhausted the coaching searches. It's happening way too frequently. Way too much, Tom. Can't take it.
Well, we will see what happens this week against LSU. What else we got today, Chad? We got anything good?
I'm ready for football to be over with, and I'm ready to have a head coach. And, you know, I'm trying to think if I have any wise parting words. I feel like I hope everyone was aggressive last week.
I think they were. Right? I saw some aggressiveness.
And I feel like you probably had a better week if you're aggressive.
In a kind way.
Just listen. That's what we got to do this week, guys. Let's listen. And girls. Let's listen.
Chad's parting shot is to listen this week.
Just be a good listener. You know, sometimes we're quick to speak. So let's be slow to speak. Let's listen.
That's a good one. Hey, listen to this, Chad. I saw that Chandler Morris picked up a prediction or crystal ball prediction for Oklahoma today.
Really?
How does that make you feel?
I think my reaction is probably like every other Hawk fan reaction. Tell me if I'm wrong, but like, was he really that good?
That poor guy, man. I'm sure he's a great kid. I'm sure he is, but he's gotta hate Arkansas. Like, I don't. He's gotta want to burn the thing down. That's, you know. Oh. You get your dad fired. Oof, that stings. You're committed. You have to decommit. Man.
Well, hey, I mean, positive. So at least it happened like before he got to school. Like, he could have, like, man, what if he redshirted his freshman year? And then he like had to, you know, or what if he played? I don't know. He got fired in the middle of that. And then he's like, oh, crap, now I got to transfer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would be complicated, too.
But I'm happy for him. It happened before, and he could kind of reset things around. So.
Best of luck to Chandler Morris. Best of luck to Chad
luck
Morris.
To
where do you think Chad Morris ends up, Chad? I haven't really thought much about it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, probably on the Patriots staff scouting.
I feel like Bill Belichick would literally rip his head off. Literally. Just murder. Bill Belichick's in prison the rest of his life.
Trying to bring that club dub into the Patriots locker room.
Couldn't, like, that is oil and vinegar, man. Bill Belichick, Chad Morris, couldn't be more opposites in my mind. Oh, man. Well, at least Chad doesn't have to move, right? He just can just move back. He's just back home now because they never moved, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he's just back in Dallas or wherever they're from, and he'll just be coaching. I think he's just going to coach high school again, you know? Get back in it.
Hey, it worked.
How many kids, if he gets back into high school football, how many kids do you think he'll send Arkansas's way to play? Gotta be a little
zero.
Awkward. Zero, I agree.
Oh, man.
Well, all right, Chad. Great talk today. Appreciate your time. Hopefully you enjoy more windy Chicago. Eat at least two more meals of Chicago-style pizza for all of us. Because we really want you to feel like a grease bag the rest of your trip. I don't know what a grease bag is, but that's what we want you to
feel. That's what I feel like. Ooh.
Well, all right. Well, to those listening, if you haven't already, go follow the podcast on Twitter at @humble_podcast. You'll never believe who followed the podcast today. Feels good. The biggest, best, most wonderful Hog fan, Kanan Sandy, followed the podcast on Twitter today. Feeling good about that? One of about,
we are on the map.
One about 7,000 people he follows. So that feels fine.
Yeah.
Also, you can follow the pod on Instagram at Hard to Be Humble Podcast. That's what it is on Instagram. You can also feel free to always call in to our phone number at 615-392-0107 with any thoughts, questions, ideas, theories, concerns, conspiracy theories, favorite things about Mike Leach. I want to hear that. That would be actually a really good, I would love for people to call in and tell me things you like about Mike Leach. Because he's got a lot of funny stuff about him. So do that. Call in or text it. Do something like that. My dad actually texted into the phone line. Guess what his text was?
Bigfoot.
No. Great guess. Ah. No, it was, I like strawberry and oranges. The pink ones are trash. That's what he said. I was like, yes. I actually am on board with that. I think now that I reflect on it, the pink Starbursts, my least favorite. I think I would rate them.
Oh, my.
I would rate them orange, favorite. Red, yellow, pink.
No. Pink, red, yellow, orange. And it's not even.
Not debatable?
I don't know. It's not even debatable. No. Orange. Orange. Look at you and your orange Starburst.
Well, Chad, you know what something, that's truly not debatable? It can be really hard to be humble. Especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan.
Woo pig. Love it.